Okay, Don, if you could let everyone know what they need to do.
Okay, you'd like to ask a question, please press star zero now, and I'll go ahead and collect your names.
Okay, so press star zero if you have a question, and I will be waiting, and Don will be collecting the questions that come in. And so here's one of the things that I'd like to talk about on today's call-in day, and it's this whole subject of a rich cleaner. Since this year, on October 16th, 17th, and 18th, I'm doing the first ever Rich Cleaner Conference, which will be specifically for building a successful cleaning operation. I'm going to teach the very best stuff that I know. We're going to give everyone there a smorgasbord of proven marketing and business building systems. Basically, by attending the conference, you're really not coming to a seminar. You're actually coming to an event that kind of looks and maybe feels like a seminar, because it'll be live. There will be a big room. There will be speakers and all that stuff. Not a lot of speakers, though. The main ones are me, Bill Phillips, and Dan Hollins, who's going to talk about all the latest internet marketing stuff. And, you know, Dan, for those of you that are new to the call-in days, is the creator of the internet marketing for The Secret, which is one of the most successful internet marketing campaigns in history. So he'll be there, and we'll have, you know, Ken Glickman, and we'll have some other individuals that were there. Predominantly, though, I'm going to be doing the majority of the speaking. And I decided to do that because I want to just teach the very best stuff ever. I always hear people come up and tell me at conferences, I wish we could hear more from you, I wish we could hear more from you. And I always think that people want to see all these famous speakers and individuals, and I sort of emcee the events and talk a little bit, but this time I'm going to spend a lot of time sharing the very best stuff, and I'm going to actually give people what I consider the most effective, powerful marketing systems on how to be a rich cleaner. And before I get into the Q&A, in a letter that I'm getting ready to release to invite people to come to the conference, I talk about what is a rich cleaner and are you one of them. So I'm going to give you a list of what these are. And I just, for the first time earlier in the week, we did a Platinum Plus meeting at Lisa Wagner's rug plant. We did a field trip, and then the day before, we spent a day doing brainstorming with all our awesome Platinum members, and we did a whole exercise called I Know I'm a Rich Cleaner Win. And everyone just made a list of, you know, five characteristics of what they would consider as being a rich cleaner when they have these things in their life. And what I thought was most amazing about the group of Platinum Plus members that we have is that 80% at least, maybe a little more, but at least 80% of people's list of being a rich cleaner had nothing to do with them and the money they make. It had to do with helping their family, helping their friends, giving to charity, creating value for the community. It really reminded me that we have a group of Piranha members in Platinum that, you know, from the outside perspective, other people would be like, oh, they're just, you know, in that Piranha marketing stuff so they can make a lot of money. And actually, I hope people are in Piranha marketing so they can make a lot of money, because money is really good, and you can do a lot of cool things in the world and create a lot of value with money. And without money, you can spend an enormous amount of your life in misery and struggling and not having access to education and health and health care, all kinds of various things that money affords you. However, it's not just about money. It's about value creation. And what I really like about our group is that these are individuals that just genuinely care about helping other people and about doing good things. And it's one of their criterias of success. It's just doing good things. And so I just really love seeing all that, and it just makes me that much more proud of what we have put together here as a group of people. So what is a rich cleaner? Here's what I actually have listed in a letter that I put together. A rich cleaner is somebody who is on the cutting edge of technology, somebody who knows, understands, and has access to little-known technological breakthroughs that few cleaners are aware of. Technological breakthroughs that automatically and consistently generate tons of high-paying jobs for your cleaning business. And so I'm going to go through five more of these, and I want you to think about if you have these already in your business. And this is just a list that I think categorizes a rich cleaner. You can add to it or take away whatever works for you. A Rich Cleaner is somebody who packages and presents their services in such a way that they're uniquely different from their competitors so that they can never be compared to the competition based on price. A Rich Cleaner is somebody who has a network, a genius network, that consists of many of the world's most successful, wealthiest cleaners and top business minds on the planet, a network who they can regularly consult with for sound and often priceless advice. A Rich Cleaner is somebody who, due to their systems, is never a victim of a stumbling, crumbling economy or a recession. A Rich Cleaner is somebody who has a team or a staff of ultra-dependable employees who are able to run and grow their business even when they are not present, like perhaps off someplace traveling, spending time with their family, fishing, playing golf, or doing whatever it is that makes them happy. And then finally, a Rich Cleaner is somebody who is already financially independent or somebody who can see financial independence right around the corner within 3 to 5 short years. So the reason I wanted to read that to everyone is I really want to get every one of our members as much as humanly possible thinking about this whole concept of what is a Rich Cleaner? What is a Rich Cleaner? Am I doing things that are getting me there? Am I making decisions that are taking away from that? So you almost use it kind of like an ELF criteria, because I know a ton of our members use ELF, which I recommend, as a criteria of who they involve themselves in, what kind of jobs they take on, what sort of projects they pursue, you know, easy, lucrative, and fun. Is this easy, lucrative, and fun, or is this hard, annoying, lame, and frustrating? Is it ELF or is it HALF? And so I also would like you to think about Rich Cleaner. You know, why are you in this business? Why are you choosing to do the things you do? How do you present yourself to your clientele? Is your clientele and who you're targeting the type of people that are allowing you to develop a business that allows you to be a quote-unquote rich cleaner? So that's the subject that I'm going to talk a lot about over the next couple of months, and we're going to do an entire conference built around this whole concept of being a rich cleaner and sharing with you strategies, systems, people, processes, and methods in order to make that as much of a reality as humanly possible. And half of it is based on you being clear on what a rich cleaner is to you. Even when people sign up for the conference this year, and this will be done shortly in the next week and a half, we're going to actually have a video that will go out to everyone asking you to identify your dangers, your opportunities, and your strengths so that we can personally help you eliminate your dangers, reach your opportunities, and develop and enhance your strengths. And the DOS conversation is something that I learned from Dan Sullivan at Strategic Coach. So it's a very powerful process, and I'm going to take everyone through it even before they show up for the a Rich Cleaner conference. You can start getting value relatively quickly, and we're going to be doing a whole series of trainings before, during, and after the Rich Cleaner conference, because that is my goal this year, is to share that sort of knowledge. So that's my babbling for the first few minutes, and Don, do we have any questions waiting on the line?
No, sir, there's no question at the moment.
No questions. Okay, so here's what I like to do then, since there's no questions. I don't want to talk to space, so I'd like any of our Platinum Plus members or anyone that would have a question or would like to share or comment about anything to go ahead and press *0 and talk to me. In the meantime, while we're waiting for that to happen, I'd like those of you that don't have a question or comment that are waiting for something smart or fantastic or brilliant to be stated to go ahead and scribble down on a piece of paper in front of them what is your definition of a rich cleaner? And you can make like a bullet point list of, you know, you have a certain level of income that allows you to not worry about bills, or you do good things for the community, or you own like some, you know, beach house or some cabin, or your business allows you a lifestyle to spend a lot of time with your family or your children. You know, whatever it is. And then, Don, has anyone made any sort of action whatsoever yet?
Yes. Julie, you ready for the first question?
Yep, totally ready.
Okay, the first question comes from Danny.
Hello.
Hey, Danny, how's it going?
How are you doing?
I'm doing good, thank you.
I'm in Hanover, Pennsylvania. You know who I am? I mean.
Okay, wait, so the Marketing Mondays, Danny, from years ago?
What's that?
Which Dan? Which Danny?
Danny Flood.
Oh, man, how are you?
I'm good.
Wow.
But I got a problem, man.
What is it?
I hope that we can talk about it here. I mean, I've been reading books. I've been reading a book called Good to Great by Jim Collins.
Yep, awesome book.
Are we good? So far, okay, and I looked at the hedgehog concept, okay?
Uh-huh.
I am a musician, man, trapped in the body of a carpet cleaner, man, and I want to make a transition in my life into doing what I'm passionate about, and it's not carpet cleaning. I was wondering if you had any suggestions. I mean, I've become good friends with Jeff Troyer. You know, he's a musician, you know, the guy from ART.
Right.
And we talk all the time, and he gave me a website to go to called Artist House Music, and that's what turned me onto that book. And what they're saying is, you know, it's what are you passionate about, what are you best, could you be best at the world at, and what is your economic drive? And, you know, the three things aren't lining up for me. I mean, I'm a great carpet cleaner, but I want to tour. I want to put a band together, man. That's what I really want to do.
Well, first off, I respect your question and the fact that you're even, you know, now seeing this, and because a lot of people spend their entire lives doing things that they really don't want to be doing, doesn't fit who it is they are.
Right.
And let me mention also something about the cleaning business, too, because the cleaning industry is basically an accidental industry. Most people don't grow up and say, hey, I'm going to be a carpet cleaner.
Right.
And I actually think of people that are successful in this business, or in any business for that matter, are not the technician. I mean, you end up not being the carpet cleaner. You become the owner of a business that just so happens to be carpet cleaning,
mm-hmm.
or so happens to sell marketing services or whatever. Like I am, you know, I am an entrepreneur with an expertise in direct response marketing and carpet cleaning.
Yeah, for you, it all matches up. I was going to say if Lisa was on the call, the same thing, because I know you're about marketing and you're doing what you're best at. And I love carpet cleaning as far as meeting people and doing. I mean, I've got like over 100 or 200 clients that call me all the time, and I love cleaning for the same people over and over. But at some point, I gotta say, you know, this is not my passion. This isn't what I could be best at the world at, you know.
Yeah. So,
cool?
I'll speak to it the best that I think,
okay.
At least, because I've thought about this subject a lot, and I've had people ask me this question a lot over the years. I mean, from even the very first seminar that I ever did,
right.
My very first boot camp. You know, I had a couple people come up and say, "Man, you know, I hate this business. I don't want to be doing this." And you know, what I found is like, well, what is it that you hate about it? Well, I hate going out and cleaning the carpets, being on the van and dealing with that. And I'm like, well, what if you had other people that were doing that and you had a business that was producing a certain level of cash flow and you were just dealing with the, you know, the customers and clients, would that be a little bit better? And they're like, yeah. But anyway, in your situation, here's some of the things that, and again, you know, don't take this as advice of what you should do, because ultimately, you know, we have an exercise that's very similar to I Know I'm a Rich Cleaner exercise that I was just talking about, called I Know I'm Being Successful When. And we've taken our platinum members through it. I did an entire Genius Network interview with Dean Jackson on this, and it's this whole exercise called I Know I'm Being Successful When.
Mm-hmm.
And you list, you know, what are those things that have to exist in your life to know that you're successful. And so, you know, half of the battle here is first identifying and being aware of it. So you're already there. I mean, the mere fact that you even ask this question, it has a level of awareness that,
right.
that many people don't. So, you know, you're already on the journey, is the first thing I would say. Secondly, is in order for you to be a musician, in order for you to be successful, in order for you to be whatever it is that you really feel you're to do, what your unique strength and skill is, you're going to have what are the conditions that you would know being a musician would be? I mean, does that mean playing in a band a certain amount of time? Would it be? I don't know what that is, but first off, you know, get real clear on what that is. And then think about the setup. What is the setup? What are the things that you need to have happen in your life in order for you to be able to do that? Do you want to make money from being a musician, or do you simply want to live? You know, one of my I Know I'm Being Successful When things is live like an artist with a $50,000 a month trust fund.
Right.
The problem problem with people that just want to do what it is they do, especially if it's in arts or entertainment or whatever, is this one nasty little thing called cash flow.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't have cash flow, if you don't have something that is producing money for you, a lot of times it's hard to go to that next stage. So, I mean, think of your business in two stages, stage one and stage two. I look at it as, you know, Piranha 2.0, Joe Polish 2.0. Whenever I want to go to another level, I say, okay, first off, what does it need to look like? What are the conditions that will exist? And then what's the setup? What are the things that I need to do?
Mm-hmm.
And what I encourage most entrepreneurs to think of their business as is just simply the cash flow machine that will fund their future business, that will fund their future lifestyle. And then people get less trapped and like, oh, my God, I'm stuck in this business that I don't like, I can't stand, and this isn't what I want to be doing, when in reality, you know, if you just figured out what it is you really want to be doing and you established a cash flow entrepreneurial venture to fund it, you know, things can become pretty cool.
Right. Hey, let me give you some background on how this all came about. About like 6 years ago, I made some decisions, okay? I love my business. I mean, I don't want to give you the wrong idea. I really like the same people I'm playing for all the time. I mean, we've got contracts. I mean, if I sold my business, I might be able to get something for it because I've got so many people that use me repeatedly, okay? And that's cool. And I like that. But about 6 years ago, I made a decision. I said, you know, I really want to start exploring my music. I want to start recording it. And I got with this music store and kind of like started spending a lot of money. And I outfitted my whole house. I wouldn't have been able to do it without you guys, without Piranha either. I mean, I was starting to make some good money. And so I started recording, doing this stuff. I play all the instruments myself. You know, I've been doing this for like 6 years and starting to get really good. In the middle of all that, you know, my business started coming down somewhat. It wasn't what it used to be. And it was just recently that I got on this website, and what they're saying is that hedgehog concept. See, I don't see anything wrong with the model of saying, okay, my passion is music. Okay, I play it. I'm really good at it. I could be great at it. But my economic drive is the carpet cleaning business. But according to this website, what they're saying is that the three things don't line up. In other words, if you're not making money playing, you're never going to really succeed at it. I mean, it's kind of a weird thing. But to me, what would make it work is the next step for me would be to get a group together. So I was going to, like, plan in September, I want to start auditioning people. You know, I've got keys to my church. We can play there or we can play here, and it's going to be a process. In the meantime, I guess I'll just keep cleaning carpet. I mean, I can always do that. I've asked my clients, you know, I said, look, if I'm ever on tour and that's what I'm going to be doing, would you wait for me, you know, to have me clean? And they're all saying, yeah, you know, they love me. They want, and they also said that if I had somebody else doing it, they wouldn't be interested. So I think a lot of what the people are telling me is they like me. I mean, they just want me to be part of their life. It's what it seems like to me. Are we good?
Yeah, no, I mean, obviously, I don't know how many people are saying if there was anyone other than you, that would they be interested? No, I mean, in order for you to leverage yourself, you're going to have to do it with getting assistance and getting help or getting really lucky and being very strategic. And so.
Right. It's a gamble going into the, it's really hard. I mean, I've got a guy here in town who's a great keyboard player, and him and his wife are excellent, and I play with them. I mean, I'm like a side guy to their band, and we go out and play, but he can't even get jobs, I mean, around here, and we're talking about doing your own songs. It's going to be hard, but I'm just reading these books, man. I mean, I've really studied that book, and I've, and that's also on their website, Artist Music House. They got a guy talking about it. And, I mean, I don't see anything wrong with the model, like I said, of me still cleaning carpets. But see, I'm to the point now where I've already done, like, three CDs. And the next step, I mean, I could market it on MySpace, you know. But you can't drive anybody there unless you're playing out live. And that is my passion. That's what I want to do. And I guess my life would look cool if that's what I was doing, you know. And I wanted to get the steps to go in there. I guess maybe getting off the truck and getting somebody else to actually do my job.
Well,
know?
That's exactly what you should do. Because until you get off the truck, it doesn't matter if you want to be a musician or if you want to be a, you know, a professional, you know, juggler or do improv or, mm-hmm. you know, go into another business. You still need to be the entrepreneur, not the technician.
Right.
And so
I never got past that step. I guess it was I don't know. It's just I think that's I've been doing this forever. Like I said, I like it, but you know, there's other things I'm passionate about, and I took that real seriously about that principle. And you know what I'm talking about, right? The book, Good to Great.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Heck, I mean, I've even had emails back and forth with Jim Collins. I mean,
yeah.
He's a very bright guy. What I would encourage you to do is like one of the main things that you know he talks about. Is getting the right people
in the right bus, the right positions on the bus, yeah.
And you need to do that. I mean, you need to do that in your own company. You need to say, okay, what? Because right now you don't have a business, you have a job,
right? Okay.
And so, in order to make this a business, see, and what's going to happen if you don't get into that mindset, you're going to get into the same sort of situation with your music. Mm-hmm. Is you're going to be the technician, you're going to be the, there's this whole line that Dan Sullivan says, which is Frank Sinatra does not move pianos. Well, in your position, you're going to be moving pianos,
right.
Yourself, being a musician trying to do it until you actually flip that switch. And some people they just don't do the things needed to do in order to be a quote unquote business owner or a real entrepreneur. And some people don't have that and they're not cut out to do that. And if that's the case, that's fine. It's just understanding what you are capable of and what you're not. And when someone has a bigger dream, a bigger future, a bigger goal, part of it is you got to look at and say, okay, what am I missing? Am I missing people? Am I missing technology? Am I missing marketing systems? Am I missing, financial capabilities? What is the capability that is needed for you to do what it is you want to do in order to do it? And can you take the steps in order to make that a reality? And are you willing to? Because, it's not a matter of can or can't. In most cases, it's a matter of will or won't.
Maybe I got an idea. Maybe if I can visualize my company being like a real company and having other people do the things that I'm doing, that would free me up to do and run my band the same way. I mean, get the people to play the different instruments that I'm already playing. I think a lot of it is just that I want to do everything, and I know if I do it, it's going to be the best it can be. And I think that's probably the first mindset I need to conquer is being able to, sub the jobs out. What's that called?
Outsource.
Outsource, yeah.
That's always possible. Well, here's a couple of things I'd recommend for you since you're on a reading kick and stuff.
Oh, wait a minute. By the way, I read Cialdini's book, too.
Influence?
Influence, yeah. That was the best book I've ever read, man. I got it from my library, then I bought it. And I want to tell you something, man. That helped me understand things besides the business, man. They had stuff in there called the contrast principle, and they had a thing on there called foolish commitments and things like that. That helped me understand why my marriage didn't even work. I mean, that book is not just about business. That was like one of the best books I've ever read.
That book is all about psychology.
Right. It's a weapon of influence, and I understood when that was said. And it gave the example of the girl who kept going back with the same bad guy, and she kept making excuses for it, and that helped me to understand how my ex-wife worked, and she was a perfect textbook example of that. And I want to thank you for me reading that book.
Yeah, you're welcome.
I mean, it's not just for business. I mean, it also talks about bringing children up too, about how if you can have them understand why you say no, and they can get it, then they're like twice as apt to follow what you say. I started using that with my daughter, and it worked. I mean, so it's a great book.
Well, cool. Well, here, I'm going to give you a couple things I recommend that you look into.
Okay.
That'll help you with the question that you have. One is read The War of Art by Stephen Pressfield.
Okay, hold on. I'm going to write that on my computer.
Yep, Stephen Pressfield, Pressfield, War of Art.
War of Art?
Yeah, not The Art of War, but The War of Art.
Okay.
And then also visit www.mylifebook.com.
Okay.
And that is a program that's $3,000, and you will go into a room for a lounge, like a nightclub, for 4 days, and you will write a whole book about your life and get more clear on what you want. This is not, it's not a marketing thing. It's more about just your whole life, what's important to you, what it is that you want, and it's really powerful. And I've been
Who's the author of The War of Art again?
Stephen Pressfield. And you can listen to my interview with him also, which is I did a Genius Network interview with Stephen Pressfield. He wrote The Legend of Bagger Vance, which they made the movie out of. And, you know, I've also interviewed Cialdini. I don't know if you actually ever heard my interview with him.
I don't know.
With Cialdini,
he's awesome. But, yeah, I would like to hear it.
Yeah.
I was going to tell you, I'd also read, there's a book I'm reading by Joel Osteen and Sam. I'm reading like three books right now, and it's Your Better Life Now. It's a Christian book, but it talks about vision and envisioning yourself doing something, and that's like the key to doing it is if you can envision before it. So I do stuff like I envision myself with the kind of life that I want, and I'm going to take the steps to do it. But I think I just identified something. You helped me do that is that, you know, yeah, as long as I'm doing everything in the business, it is going to be hard to get away from that. And, you know,
well, yeah, and so, the, you know, the other thing is, of course, I would highly, this is going to sound completely self-promotional for me, which it is. It is also probably the thing that I'd recommend is probably the quickest, fastest way to do it is get yourself out here on October 16th, 17th, and 18th and attend my conference. And at least, if nothing else, you're going to learn the latest and greatest stuff on what to do in your business. And if you do want to get out of your business, position it, hire employees, do those things, sell it. There's nothing that's available anywhere in the world that'll be more valuable than my conference
right.
in order to do that.
Actually, I might do that because I haven't been to one and now I'm freed up. I think one of the reasons I'm thinking about the music thing is because my divorce is going to be final pretty soon and I'm going to be 50 next year and I'm thinking about, and I don't look it. I mean, I don't feel it. I mean, I feel like I'm 35, man. And I'm thinking my life is just starting, man. And so, those two things lining up is like there's nobody stopping me from doing anything right now is my other thing, you know. So that's kind of how I guess.
No, so harness that momentum and just put it into activities and things that, for one, you can really put some passion and some muscle and some energy behind and that
right.
are going to produce results, you know, and that sounds like what you're doing. And you know, I mean, read stuff, but at the same time, there's a big difference between reading things, going to seminars and stuff, versus executing
right.
Activities. So make sure that you are implementing the things needed to implement and put yourself mostly in the position of, you know, going from stage one to stage two. I mean, just think of what does your bigger future need to look like, what are the conditions, and what's the setup, and then do the things that are needed on the setup. I mean, I talk to people all the time, I want to make more money, I want to get off the van, I want to do this, I want to do that, but then it's like, well, what are you actually doing to set that up so you have those conditions? Oh, I'm not doing a lot of stuff, and it's one of the biggest obstacles that when people are like, oh, you're just trying to sell me another seminar, you're just trying to pitch this, you're trying, I'm like, well, are you doing anything on your own in order to set up the conditions in order to have what it is you want? And if the answer is no, then either start doing something or go to someone that will assist you in doing that. And if that isn't me, go somewhere else. But the bottom line is don't just think about it. Don't just wish about it. Don't just say you're going to do it because that doesn't translate into reality. You know, actions and execution and implementation and doing something, learning new capabilities, that's what translates into reality, and that's what allows someone to get to a bigger future, whatever that bigger future is.
Yeah, I got a question for you, too. The people on the coaching club, would you say those are like Platinum Plus and things like that? Are those people, are they passionate about carpet cleaning, or are they trying to get like a better balance in their life, and they're really passionate about other things, and they're trying to get their businesses to be I don't know how to say this, like if that's their tool for doing what they're really passionate about, or are they just really passionate carpet cleaners?
Well, I mean, the answer is some are and some aren't. I mean,
okay.
My perspective on this from talking to all of them, I don't think anyone's passionate about quote-unquote cleaning carpets.
Okay.
I think what people are passionate about is customer service, providing value, doing something that makes them feel good. I mean, I've ran across lots of people, which is I can't, it's not my life, I can't understand it or comprehend it, that say, I really like being out cleaning carpets. I've had a couple people tell me that, you know, it's just really, like, serene for them. It's meditative. Last thing I'd ever want to do is sit around all day and clean carpets,
yeah.
If that was, like, my only life. You know, I mean, I could understand doing the grunt work and being on the van and doing those things as you're building the systems and capabilities needed in order to, you know, make the cash flow and things to get someone else, you know, off the van. Some people just want to be on the van. They just want to have a small business. That's not me, and that's typically not something I'm going to recommend to other people because I like seeing people develop a business that's not dependent upon them because, you know, if you're always on the van and you don't have an alternative for that, you get sick, you get injured, I mean, you're screwed. And so I like, you know, I like seeing my clients actually putting together the pieces and building a company so they have a real company and not a job. But, you know, when you are there people that are passionate that are in platinum? Oh, absolutely. I mean, if you were at the meeting we just did in San Diego, I mean, you see people that are, you know, ecstatic in some cases with their lives, and you see others that are mired in frustration that are just trying to figure out how to rearrange it. But I mean,
yeah, I mean, I love my life. I mean, I love this quiet cottage I'm renting right now. I love, you know, working for the same people all the time. I love that part. I love coming home to my studio. I'm kind of addicted to it. I mean, I'll be up all night some nights working on music, and then the next day I'll get up and go to work. I like it, but I know that I can't get comfortable in that because I'll never get anywhere. I mean, I'm working less and working more at things I don't get paid for. I mean, I don't get paid to go in there and lay a drum track down or sing or get somebody in to sing. I don't get paid for any of that stuff, but it's what I really want to do. And eventually, I think what I'm learning from this conversation is I want to build steps and take care of my company, and then after all that, you know, then I mean, make it like a 2-year plan maybe to get on the road with the group, and it doesn't have to happen like right away. But I think with all this freedom I've got, I kind of like want to rush into that. You know what I'm saying? It's
well, you know, I mean, I may, depending on the questions that I get today, I may actually go into something that I talked about at our Platinum meeting, which is an article that Dan Sullivan had written called The Scary Times Manual on what to focus on when things are, you know, not going the way you want them to, or, you know, just what to do. And part of it is just, you know, focus on producing more than you consume. You know, focus on helping other people. And where a lot of frustration comes from is, I mean, there's a lot of things in my business that I wish I didn't do, but I need to do them and I have to do them. And it's not necessarily the activities that are bad. A lot of it is just my attitude towards some of the activities. And just like working out, I mean, the example all the time, although I've learned ways to actually enjoy it, you know, I don't necessarily love going to the gym. I have a 6:30, you know, I'm on Pacific Standard Time right now, and I have a 6:30 appointment tonight with a trainer, and it's going to be agonizing. I mean, this is a certain type of training that I do about once a week that is just mind-boggling, annoying, and just I don't like it, and it sucks. But the consequences are worth it. So I tend to look at, even when I'm doing stuff work-wise or, you know, exercise-wise, as long as it has a consequence that is going to be productive in the future, I'm willing to work through the burn. And part of it, I think, of being a good entrepreneur is knowing when to work through the burn. And a lot of times, you know, people get stuck in situations where they're just like, that's not what I want to be doing. And so you can do two things with that. For one, you can say, okay, yeah, it really does suck, and, you know, try to accept it and be okay with it. Or you can say, okay, yeah, I'm not happy with this. This frustration is nature's way of saying, wake up and take a look at it. And what are the things that I need to do in order to do that? And you start taking steps in order to make those changes so that you can be, you know, going to where you want to go. And that's it. So, no, you're doing a lot of good stuff, and I hope the conversation here just gave you some food for thought. And I mean, even talking about it is a good thing to help. And I welcome anyone else's on the line's comments or questions related to this. And so, Danny, I mean, thanks for, you know, keeping
me posted. I got one more question. Is that cool?
That's your last one.
Okay. It's about marketing, though. It's
okay.
About the three-step ladder. Are we cool? Can I ask you?
Yeah.
Okay. This year's been so weird for that for me. I did one neighborhood. There was like less than 100 people. I got almost a 20% response over like four letters. It was the, like, and I used that card at the top. I used a playing card, you know?
Uh-huh.
And it worked out really well. It's in a really wealthy neighborhood. Then I figured, you know, I'm going to take the same concept and go over to this other neighborhood I work all the time. And for whatever reason, I put out like 450 letters, and it didn't get a call, you know, from this other, the bigger neighborhood. And I'm trying to figure out why. I mean, I didn't pick up the phone and call anybody, but, in the letter, the only thing I've changed is on the coupon, I put like $90. My price right now for cleaning carpet is 60 cents a square foot. And so I put a coupon on there with like it was worth $90. And I'm thinking, you know, that's one room up to 150 square feet is $90. And I'm thinking, in these hard times, I guess you say, you think people are like looking at that coupon and thinking, maybe I shouldn't have the amount on there? Because if they're thinking, well, $90 for one room, man, my whole house is going to cost like $400.
Well, was it the same exact offer you put in the other area where it did work?
Yeah. Then, same exact. Everything's perfectly exact.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, the only way to really know is to actually ask some of the people that you delivered it to. And
well, the first thing I thought is I paid somebody to deliver these, and I'm thinking maybe they didn't put them all out. But then I went out the second letter and put them out myself, so I know they got delivered, and I still didn't get anything. It's kind of weird. It's, you know, I mean, you live and die by it, sort of. You know, I mean, sometimes you'll have a feast and sometimes you'll have famine, and I'm willing to do that. But I'm thinking if somebody doesn't call in the first two letters, is it even worth it to put the third one out?
Yeah, unless you put the third one out with, you know, fill it up with testimonials, change
it. Well, this has testimonials on it. I mean, I took my first letter that went out to all these people, man, it had that one neighborhood I just told you about that I did real well in, and I've got like 16 people's testimonials on there. I even got somebody who left something from the internet, man. There was a chat line, and I copied it right off the internet that they'd gone to this chat line and talked about me, and I kind of quoted that. And so there was a lot of testimonials in there, and that's why I couldn't figure out why I didn't get any calls, but I'm thinking that neighborhood slightly less income than the one that I got all the good rapport from. So,
well,
you never know.
I mean, the only thing you can do in a situation like this, other than keep, you know, going back to bat with it, is to ask the people that did not respond and see if they give you any feedback that may show you some indicators of things that are objections that could be addressed in the future. But, you know, or just keep going back to the same areas where you get response. And, you know, if you have a well where you stick in the bucket and you come up with water, and you have another well where you stick in the bucket and no water comes up, stick with the well that has the water.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hey, man, thanks for all your time, man. I didn't mean to take everybody else's time away under this call, but you gave me a lot of great information. I might even come to that seminar, man.
All right, you better.
Yeah.
It'll only help you.
I know.
Cool, man. Thank you. Have a great day.
Yeah, you too, man. Thanks.
Bye-bye. All right, I think that was a pretty long one, but hopefully we talked about things that were applicable and valuable to everyone listening. So, Don, do we have another question?
Yes, next question comes from Bill Pope.
Hello, Bill.
Hello, Joe. How are you?
I'm doing good, thanks.
I don't really have a question. I just wanted to make a comment about something that happened with me in the business today.
Yep.
I thought it'd be interesting for everyone else to hear it.
Okay.
I had a woman from Indiana. I'm in New York.
Uh-huh.
I had a woman from Indiana that was moving to New York, and she was looking for a carpet cleaner. And she found me online. She found my website, and she liked everything she saw. But when I gave her my price, I gave her the three prices, and she had a lot of carpet, 2,300 square feet in her house, so it was a lot of carpet. She felt that the price was too high. So she ended up calling another company, and she told me that she got a company to do it for less than half the price of my lowest price. And my lowest price was $1,400. It was a big job. But anyway, the carpet cleaning was supposed to be done today. And I decided that I want to take just a risk and go to her house with a packet of a lot of stuff about my company and a couple of coupons and give her a welcome wagon type of thing. And so when I got there, it was about 3 o'clock this afternoon, it just happened to be that the carpet cleaner that she hired was just pulling in. And it turned out to be Sears. The only thing was, it was a Sears minivan with a portable machine inside of it. And when the woman pulled it out, I looked at the client and I said, so is this who's cleaning your carpets? And she said, yeah. I said, well, I just want you to know something. If you have any concerns or problems once you start, just feel free to call me. Well, I went back to my office, and within a half an hour, I got a phone call with a woman that was very hysterical. She had her nightmare on her hands. So she said she had called Sears up, and Sears told her that she should have told him that she wanted a deep cleaning and that it was not their fault, that it was her fault. So anyway, I got the job, so I'll be going there tomorrow to do this job. And it was all just from taking the chance and going to say hello.
Now that is very cool. That's actually pretty funny too. And you know, I mean, for one, you know, I'm glad that you actually took it upon yourself to go out there and do that. I don't know if I personally would have done that. I might have said, well, you know, because I tend to have a walk away sort of positioning that I use where I'm willing to walk away from certain things. But obviously, that was for one that was a pretty much a tremendously good learning situation. Secondly, I would actually, if I was you, use that as a story without naming the name of the company, not without saying Sears. I would actually write up an example of, you know, here's something that I recently did when someone said that my carpet cleaning was too much money, and here's what happened. And you actually tell the story, because that will help you overcome price objections in the future when it does come up.
Oh, I'll tell you, when I get finished, I'm hoping to get a good video testimonial from her, and maybe she'll even put that in herself.
Yeah, no, which would be perfect. That would be the ideal thing, if you actually have the client actually tell the story for you.
So I want to say I had a great time out there.
Awesome, awesome.
I had a really nice time.
In San Diego?
In San Diego, and,
yeah.
So anyway, good. I'm out there in October, and I hope that guy that was just on the phone, I hope he comes out, because it would probably do him a lot of good. I hope he's listening. But he would be he would get a lot of benefit from actually coming out to the meeting in October.
Yeah, I would agree, and thank you for saying that, because when I say that, of course, it just sounds like, oh, Joe's just trying to pitch a seminar, which, of course, I am pitching a seminar, but it's more than a seminar. It's like your life, and it's about being a rich cleaner, and it's about figuring out how to do things better and create more direction, confidence, and capability. So, yeah, I hope he comes out, too, because he's a good guy, and it would be really valuable for him to be there. So thank you, and thank you, Bill, for being a member. Appreciate it.
I just comment one more thing, because he was asking about about whether or not we were passionate about carpet cleaning. And my answer to him about me personally is that I am certainly not passionate in the sense that I don't wake up every morning saying I just can't wait to get in a truck and go clean someone's carpet. What I am passionate about, though, is owning a business that can create value for other people and create value for me at the same time, and be able to enjoy what it is that I do in the business. When I'll be honest with you, it is marketing. And you have given that opportunity to me, which I didn't have before. But my passion is not waking up every morning and getting on a truck. Although I do like meeting the clients, that's not what my passion is. So.
Yeah, no, thank you. Thank you. That's great. I appreciate it.
All right. Well, thank you.
Yeah, have a great night.
You too.
Okay, Don, who do we got next?
Okay, next question comes from Jane.
Hello, Jane.
Hello, Joe. This is Jane Jones from Vermont.
Were you going to call me darling?
I almost called you Don.
I would. That would have been awesome.
I wanted to refer back to Danny to talk about what he was trying to do with his music.
Uh-huh.
First of all, I wanted to thank you for the great Platinum Plus meeting, because it was just awesome, and we had a great time.
Thank you.
Learned a lot of things. But what I wanted to let Danny know was, if he's still listening, is that I'm a watercolor artist. And Catamount Carpet Cleaning, our carpet cleaning company, allows me to be an artist. And I don't have to worry about whether I'm going to make a huge amount of money in that. Because what we've learned in Platinum Plus in the last 4 years has enabled us to almost let the company run without us. So we travel. I am a watercolor artist. Don golf and does what he wants, and we also invest in other things. So I just wanted to make that sort of clear to everybody that's a possibility if you work in, either come to the conference in October or join Platinum Plus.
Well, thank you. Thank you. I mean, God, it's great to hear that, too. Not just because it's like great promotional stuff for the things that I do to make a living, which I do everything I can to provide more value than what we actually ask people to pay. Meaning, my greatest thing in terms of teaching has always been to create a school for entrepreneurs that pays them to attend. And I mean, we've done that with the people that actually follow through with what it is we provide and everything. And I love hearing that. But what I love most about it is just the, being clear on, look, my business is here to fund my ideal lifestyle. And through it and with it, if I develop it, it can provide me with the things that I want it to provide me with, and that's the purpose of a business. I mean, if you don't have that, then you don't really have a business that's working for you. You're working for it, and it's not always that way in the beginning. It's not easy or simple to do without setting up certain conditions. However, once you invest the time and the energy, and you're constantly developing it, just like any other area of your life. I mean, when you take any person that has great success in any area of life, they're doing certain things, and they're doing certain things on a consistent basis. And you're doing those things, and the byproduct of doing those things and investing in yourself and doing the training you've gone through and working on it is that you have a business that works better than most people that don't do those things.
Yeah. Yep, absolutely. And I just want to make another point. We've been in business for 21 years, and it's only been the last 5 years that we've been able to do all of this and not worry about the business.
Wow, wow.
So it's very cool.
Awesome. Thank you so much. I appreciate that.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you.
Uh-huh.
Okay, next question comes from Kevin.
Hello, Kevin.
Dude, what's up?
Is this Kevin Coy?
Yes.
The Kevin Coy.
One and only.
The real Kevin Coy, please stand up. All right, perfect.
Hey, I just was wondering if Bill said, did he say that that was a rug doctor? from Sears?
I don't know. I don't think he said that, but he might have.
Oh, okay. I was just curious.
I think he just said a portable, but I don't know. I'm not 100% sure. I certainly don't think Sears uses rug doctors, but hey, you never know.
Well, I just wonder if maybe theirs was broke down or something. But anyway, I just want to say thanks a million for the field trip. We got
you are welcome.
Tons and tons of information out of that. And I hope everybody that is on the fence about coming to the Super Conference jumps off and gets in there, because they're going to, you know, whatever little bit of money they wind up spending is going to come back to them tenfold if they make it down there. We have personally made enough money from the things that we've learned from you in the last couple of years, that our dues and initiations and pubs and subscriptions and whatever else we're getting are paid far in advance. So I just wanted to let people know that, as you said, you pay us to attend.
Yeah, I try. Thank you. And it's people like you and Anissa and all the other great members that we have that are obviously ones that participate and are on the calls and do all this stuff that put in the work and follow the suggestions and make it happen. And that's awesome, because then it becomes a mutual win-win situation. I mean, the best sorts of businesses is when you have clients that you appreciate, they appreciate you, they both utilize each other, and everyone gets rewarded as a result of it. And that's the ultimate business scenario. And whenever you're in a lopsided sort of business scenario where the reward does not equal the investment, then, you know, it just doesn't work. And I'm thankful that we have this sort of situation and so many great members like you, and I really appreciate it. And yeah, wasn't Lisa's operation just a cool place?
You know, I gained a tremendous amount. We don't do a lot of rug cleaning in our area. Just the area that we have they don't have a lot of them around here. But what I got out of that more than anything was just the entire business model of how they handle their clients. And, you know, 30 years in the business and they still have clients from day one. They know what they're doing, you know, and that's really what I gained, was the amount of business building they've done, the rapport building, and, you know, the fact that their competition refers to them and them to the competition. I mean, they've got a very well-oiled model, and it was a pleasure to get to hear everything out of that.
Awesome. Yeah, thank you. And where's that wild little wife of yours at? Where's she running around doing?
I'm right here.
Are you drinking and smoking right now, or are you just kind of kicking back exercising? What is it?
Of course I'm drinking and smoking. Well, that's all I ever do.
Hey, I'm proud of you.
You said my name right.
Anissa?
Yep.
I should get a special prize just for that.
Really?
You know, you'll notice that a lot of people that are members, I, like, don't say their names because I have this paranoia of, like, screwing up their names. The worst is when you have, like, clients that you've had for, like, 5 years and you still, like, are afraid of saying their names because you don't want to mess it up. Like, I don't want to mess up, like, Annette's name. I wish it was just, like, Annette Hume, like, but, you know, I don't want to mess it up, so I just say Annette.
Yeah. I don't go there either.
Well, very cool, man. Thank you. Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Joe.
Have a good night.
You too.
Okay, Don, who do we got next?
Next question comes from Dave.
Hello, Dave.
Hi.
Which Dave is this?
This is Dave Eschenbach, Sarasota, Florida.
Hey, how you doing? How's Florida?
It's hot.
How humid is it?
Oh, it's dripping. It's dripping.
Crazy humid, huh?
Yeah, not like Arizona. A little drier out there, I think.
Yep.
Hey, Joe, I've been in Piranha just 3 months, but I've done real well with everything. And one thing I've recently done is I put out the consumer awareness guide with a follow-up letter. And one of the people that received the follow-up letter and the consumer awareness guide was a husband and wife who just bought a dry cleaners.
Oh, wow.
They loved what I did. Not only do they own one, they own five.
Oh, my God. How perfect.
I know. It was. And I remember that when what you said in the early days when you started with a dry cleaner and it really helped your business.
Yes.
So we're putting a whole package together. They're going to offer, you know, all the services that I offer, of course, and I'm going to do it. What can you, I mean, can you give me any advice? And did you have contracts between the two of you? Or
When I first did it, it was with a company called Elegant Cleaners, and it was in Chandler, Arizona. And no, it was all, you know, verbal handshake and stuff. But do you have marketing letters and every? I mean, have you gone to Piranha Central and downloaded Len and Annette's stuff for dry cleaners?
Yes, I have.
And okay. So, you know, I could even, I never had a contract. Now, that's not to say that you could not have a simple agreement along those lines, but I never did.
Right.
And again, I'm not giving legal advice here.
Right.
You know, if Leonard or Annette want to actually speak to this, press *0, and I can, you know, ask them what it is they do, since so much of the focus of doing a endorsement with dry cleaners has actually been through them and with them. I mean, they basically took my very first original sales letter. They tweaked it, embellished it a little, but it's still so much of the same campaign, same promotion. So, I mean, ask me anything other than, you know, legal agreements or anything. I could pretty much give you any tips
well,
in order to.
Well, yeah, I mean, pretty much between the two of us. I mean, they're just going to let me, you know, set the prices and you know, I'm just going to pay them a small percentage, like a 10% type.
Yeah, 10% is what I've paid, and, you know, sometimes people pay more, sometimes they pay less. You know, one of the things that I would encourage you to do is have an irresistible offer. The best irresistible offer that we've ever used, of course, has been a free room of cleaning followed up with a carpet audit. And the reason being, when you're doing an endorsement through another company, they're basically, instead of the perception being recommending another service, what they're doing is they're giving away a gift, and the gift happens to include a freebie. In this case, a free room of carpet cleaning. And what I've always said, and these are very valuable words that kind of like are Jay Abrahamish sort of sounding, is if the client that you send out a free, you know, if the dry cleaners list, you mail their database, and you're mailing to, you know, 500 people, and you mail all of them a letter with a certificate with a free room of carpet cleaning right out of my 105 strategies manual. Or just like, you know, Len and Annette have, you send them a gift certificate. What I always say to the, you know, dry cleaner or whoever is endorsing me, that even if your clients do not avail themselves of the free gift, you still apply one of the great psychological principles, which comes out of the book Influence by Robert Cialdini, which is reciprocity. And whenever you give somebody a gift, even if they use it or not, it instills, even on the most subtle basis, reciprocity, because people love to be given gifts. And a lot of times, just the mere act of doing something nice for someone, even if they don't use it or not, actually lets them know that, this person actually cares. They did something for me, and that creates enormous goodwill. I mean, everyone can relate to someone calling them up and offering them, you know, tickets for a ball game and you not being able to go on the ball game, but the mere fact that they offered it to you, it's kind of like it's a thought that counts. And so I like using endorsement relationships not only to generate business, but to help these business owners do marketing that establishes goodwill, because most of them never do. I mean, when I did this campaign with Elegant Cleaners, and this was before the Internet, you know, so there are lots of things you can do today that you couldn't do back then. This person actually had their database in a computer system, you know, and this is at a time when a lot of people's, you know, keeping track of their, you know, customers was in a shoebox. And, you know, basically by mailing to this person's list, it resurrected a lot of relationships that, you know, had gone dormant because there'd been no communication with him, and this was the first time this guy had ever actually physically mailed anything to his clients. And
did you mail something out from his list, flyers or?
Oh yeah, for, an offer for a free room of carpet cleaning.
Right. Well, they were talking about, and we've been talking about them, you know, mailing, just attaching like a flyer or a free room of carpet cleaning to every piece of garment that goes out the door.
Oh yeah, I've done this a couple ways. One's I did it with flyers, and we then switched to these little door hanger things, which would, they were like miniature door hangers that would go over the top of the hanger, because one of the employees actually stapled the flyer through someone's clothes, and it and so they're like, oh god, you know, we don't want to have this happen again, so they actually switched to you know, but you can put a little piece of tape, you can put a tab. One thing that I did way back when, which I would still recommend today, it's easier to do it now with printing capabilities and stuff, is, you know, I went to an office supply store and I got those clear plastic brochure holders, and I got the free room of cleaning letter exclusively for Elegant Cleaners. This is in my marketing toolkit in my 105 strategies package for anyone that has my course. This is also online at Piranha Central. I mean, the easiest way for everyone listening to actually get this is just simply go to piranhacentral.com and enter your, you know, username and passcode, and just go in there and do a search for Lennon and Ed's dry cleaner letter. But anyway, so what I would do is I would get the brochure holders in clear plastic, and then I'd print out double-sided flyers and on pink, fluorescent, obnoxious paper. Then I went to Kinko's and actually had a banner made that says, ask us about our free carpet cleaning offer exclusively for customers of Elegant Cleaners. And then when people would come in, they'd see that big thing up on the wall, and there'd be these brochures. And the people behind the counter, because you couldn't count on them without being trained to say, hey, here's a free carpet cleaning offer, people would say, well, what's this carpet cleaning offer? And they would simply point them to the counter brochure holder, and people would grab a flyer. And that's how I actually promoted it. And every article of clothing that went out the door that I could get them to put something on, they would do that. And I even then started having members do things like agree to pay for, you know, those plastic sleeves that go over the clothes?
Right.
Well, they have to buy those. And so you can actually, the dry cleaners can get those printed, custom printed with their name and an offer. So you can actually agree to pay for their plastic bags if they'll put a commercial for your cleaning company on each bag. So there's all kinds of little creative things that you can do. But, yeah, I mean, if you got five dry cleaners, that's awesome, because that could lead to a really great endorsement. And what I would recommend is just make the person really happy, you know, in the beginning, and then obviously maintain it and keep them happy. It's just like the momentum in the beginning is the most critical time to just impress the heck out of people. And once they, you know, once they feel that reciprocity, they start getting checks coming in. You know, I mean, Dick McKissick, who is the actual owner of Elegant Cleaners, I ended up doing $25,000 in business, and he ended up getting 10% of that $2,500 off of money that he never would have made. It, you know, I love referring to it as what it is. It's found money. You know, you make found money. It's a way for you to get paid off of your database without having to do any additional work. And not only did he make money for me cleaning, and will they make money off the 10%, but if you do a slam dunk job, they'll end up having more frequency of clients. It'll end up building their business more. And the ultimate thing is, once you have that working, every other business that you approach, be it a chiropractor, be it a tile store, be it a real estate agent, an interior designer, you can always say, yeah, and I'm doing this over here with this dry cleaner, and here's what he has to say. So as soon as the person starts, you know, seeing satisfaction with how the joint venture is working, have them give you a testimonial about doing a joint venture with them.
Right.
And then use that testimonial to pitch other companies to do joint ventures with you, so you can continue to expand that network. And that's one of the ways that people can eliminate advertising altogether, is if they get enough joint ventures like that set up.
Some great ideas.
Yeah, absolutely.
A lot of good ideas in my mind. So
Cool. And, well, congratulations on being a Piranha member 3 months in. I love hearing the stuff and that you're taking action on it. Some people actually don't do anything for, you know, a couple of years until desperation hits or something. But I love the fact that you're doing stuff, and I'd love to have you come out to the conference this year.
I'm planning on coming. I'm definitely planning on coming.
Yep. And by the way, my conference, the guarantee that I'm going to make this year, I'm going to literally give people a system. I'm going to give people a proven system of the best stuff that I know is working from years of doing this, from all the Platinum Plus members, from people that have entered and completed the contest, and me going through and identifying what I feel are the most important ingredients and systems needed in order to be a rich cleaner. And I'm going to share these things and teach them and give them out at the conference. And if people, all I'm going to ask is people implement just four strategies, easy, simple to implement strategies that I will, I'm going to give out a whole bunch of them, but all they need to do is a minimum of four of them within a year's time. And if these strategies do not make them 10 times what the investment to come to the conference is, I'll give them double their money back. So not only is there zero risk in this, but if people simply just do what I'm going to suggest they do there, they're going to make a ton of money, and if they don't, I'll give them twice as much as it costs to even come to the darn thing. So no one has any excuse except an excuse.
I've implemented five of your strategies. All five of them have worked. You know, from the three-step letter, which I started with, just in the, you know, the carpet audit, everything just works really, really well. I'm just thrilled about everything I've learned so far.
Awesome, awesome. Well, thank you. I love hearing that.
So
I'm gonna
definitely be there in October.
Perfect. See you. Have a great evening, and I will see you then.
All right. Thanks, Joe.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Who do we got next, Don?
Okay, next we have Annette.
Annette.
Hi.
Perfect timing.
Hi. Well, you had asked if we were listening, so I thought I would mention that. We do not have a contract. You know, we just didn't feel there was a need, but if he certainly wanted to go ahead, I suppose he could, but it sounds like he has a great relationship with them already, so I don't know if it's necessary or not. And just as you know, Joe, we have them attach it on the packaged goods of cleaning, just so that there's just no, you're not relying on the person on the front counter to hand that brochure out. We found that has worked wonderfully. As you know, we're still doing, you know, $1,900 a month on it, and $45,000, so much since we started it. So, and it's real easy. They staple the bill. They staple the offer. So just, was Dave from Florida?
Uh-huh.
That was just talking to you about it?
Yep.
We found that was the easiest way. Just keep it real simple for them to get those things on. So I just wanted to hop on and let you know that.
No, perfect.
Not
thank
that
you.
Your ears are bad. You know, it's just that's what's worked for us.
No, and by the way, I mean, any time that someone could embellish, add to, make something better. I mean, I am a huge believer in continual improvement. I mean, there, everything that, you know, a lot of the strategies that thousands of carpet cleaners, ones that don't even know who I am, use, were originally invented by me. However, the improvements that have come over the years just keep making them better and better and better and better. And I, you know, anytime someone can improve upon an already existing valuable concept, you know, that's great. And even when something's working like gangbusters, you know, my attitude towards it is, okay, let's see if we can even beat it. Let's make it better. You know, the whole concept of a control piece where in the direct mail world, whenever you a direct mailer has a successful sales letter, it's called a control. And Brian Kurtz, who is the VP and a very good friend of mine, he's the VP of Boardroom, which is the publisher of Bottom Line Personal, largest consumer newsletter, paid for, circulated consumer newsletter in the world, has this great line, which is the control is the enemy. And I love that because it's kind of like saying the most successful salesperson that we have in our company, which is the salesperson that you put in an envelope, is the enemy. And the job is to beat the enemy and replace that enemy with a better person to beat it. And that's what the beauty is of marketing is. Could you imagine if you actually had to put that sort of criteria on like live salespeople to say that, you know what, you're our top salesperson, but our goal every month is to figure out how to beat you and bring someone in who's better than you. I mean, you know, you could not get away with that sort of stuff if it was a real human being, but you know, you can do that with ads, you can do that with websites, you can do that with sales letters, you can do that with joint venture campaigns and all the other various ways that we can promote and get business. And so I think it's a great attitude to have is say, okay, this is working really well, and how do we make it better? So, awesome. Now, do you have any questions about, I don't know, Potbelly Pigs or anything I could?
No,
Some really weird sort of subject or anything?
No.
And by the way, those of you that don't know, Len and Annette are the current Better Your Best winners, and they're driving around a red Corvette and getting speeding tickets and doing all kinds of crazy stuff. So,
Yep, and I want to encourage everybody. I'll take the chance to go to the Rich Cleaner conference. It's made such a difference in both, you know, Len and I, our lives, our business, everything, and just producing results. So looking forward to seeing everyone there. And as Joe mentioned, he'll deliver all the proven strategies. They'll be there, just like the dry cleaner letter. They do work. And just the exchange of ideas. And I wanted to get on and let you know that, Joe, I don't want to take up too much more time, but the Rich Cleaner and being part of a membership group is being able to exchange ideas. Anissa and I do a call every 2 weeks together, and half an hour. Today it was an hour long. We just went over a lot of stuff, and she came up with some great ideas that just spun off from our meeting. So if I can encourage everyone to, you know, find someone that they can continually talk to on a basis, it really helps and inspires as well.
Absolutely. You know what? Nobody does this stuff alone. You know, when people say financial independence, you know, the reality is unless someone is, you know, really lucky and just comes into a lot of money or wins the lottery, which, of course, is not proven to make anyone happy, it actually can destroy people when they come across a lot of money through luck, you rarely do it on your own. You do it with other people, and the more you're connected to other bright people and you can build a mastermind group and you can have discussions with other smart people, that's what allows you to grow. You know, you don't come to seminars so you can consume knowledge and data. You know, I was doing an interview with Sean Phillips, Bill Phillips' brother, who's going to be at this year's conference because Bill Phillips is going to be speaking. And I just did this Genius Network interview earlier last week on his book, Strength for Life. And he says he had this very interesting line where he said, knowledge informs, wisdom transforms. And the way that you get wisdom is you do it by discussions and groups with other people. It's not just, you know, anyone can read a book and get data. But, you know, when you come to an event and you do those things, that's where real things take place. And one of the main reasons people should come to the conference is because you guys are going to be speaking there this year.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so they're going to, you know, and what's cool, and let me say this too, for the cost of admission, we're actually going to give out one of your strategies that you're using, that you're talking about, that will actually is bringing in more every single month, twice as much than what it even costs to come to the conference. So when someone registers for the conference, you know, they're going to pay literally half of what one strategy of yours that's going to be given to everyone there is bringing in double that every single month. So, you know, literally you can say, well, you know, in 2 weeks worth of implementing the strategy, you're going to actually pay for the conference, but the benefit is you'll be able to make that money every year, every month, year after year after year, as long as you use it. So, you know, anyone that doesn't come to the conference, it's not what it's going to cost them. It's what they're going to lose by missing out on all the goodies and all the great systems that they're going to be handed on a silver platter to do it. Plus, they get to meet you guys and all these other cool members. And so even if someone doesn't like me, come to the conference because there's going to be so many people that you will like and that are just really awesome, awesome people. So thank you, Annette.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Okay, Don, what do we got next?
There's no question in the queue, sir.
There's no questions in the queue, so that means I'm going to have to tap dance here. Everyone always does this to me. All right. So here's what I'm going to do. We can wrap up also any time, but I'm going to, at the Platinum Plus meeting, actually share this article although it's not really like a normal article that would be published in a newspaper or in a book or anything. It was it's called the Scary Times Success Manual, and it's something that Dan Sullivan wrote for people that he wrote it originally for his financial planners several years ago when there was a lot of upheaval in the financial services industry. And since 60% of the clientele of Strategic Coach are in financial services, he figured that some of them were facing not only an enormous amount of complexity, but some of them regulations and loss of their business and clientele and commoditization and all kinds of other things that were affecting them. And so he wrote this thing called the Scary Times Success Manual. And what's kind of interesting is with today's current economic situation, I think the advice on there's 10 parts to this. I think it really it applies to the current economy and the current struggles that people are having. And I actually read this at the Platinum meeting, and I had a lot of people, literally probably about 10% of the people in the room actually came up to me personally in during breaks and stuff and say that was really powerful. So I'm going to share it with everyone, and then we'll wrap up. So here we go, the Scary Times Success Manual. From time to time, economic and political events make people anxious and fearful about their futures. At Strategic Coach, our business is helping successful entrepreneurs increase their sense of direction, confidence, and capability in all areas of their personal and business lives. In response to many requests from our clients for insight on how to thrive when events seem to be beyond their control, we offer 10 strategies for transforming negativity and unpredictability into opportunities for growth, progress, and achievement. We hope these strategies support your creative thinking, communications, and actions. So, number one, forget about yourself, focus on others. Uncertainty can drive people into themselves, making them feel isolated and helpless. The best strategy here is to go in the opposite direction, expanding your connections with others, focusing on helping them transform their negatives into positives. The more you contribute in this fashion, the less you will need to worry about your own situation. You will become a source of confidence for everyone else. Number two, forget about your commodity, focus on your relationships. In uncertain times, people become frightened about the viability of their commodities, the things they sell, and the jobs they hold. A more strategic response here is to disregard your own commodity and focus on deepening the power and possibility of all your relationships with family, friends, team members, suppliers, clients, customers, and prospects. Every time you strengthen a relationship, the viability of your commodity will increase. And I'll take a time out here and say that that's why it would be really good for those of you that are not making connections with other people in your industry that are successful, go to Piranha Central. You know, don't hang out on bulletin boards where people are bitching and complaining about the economy, talking about everyone that's offering, you know, advice on something is a charlatan and a snake oil salesman and an idiot. And I'm not just referring to what people could say about me. I'm just saying people in general that are very much opposed to people that are going out and educating themselves. I know nobody that is successful in life or business that do not have some source of wisdom or a network that they tap into. And that could be in the form of books, that could be in the form of events or seminars, coaching programs, mentors, going out to lunch with other smart business people. Just simply focus on deepening and developing your relationships. Stated again, going back to the article, a strategic response is to take advantage of every resource that is immediately available in order to achieve as many small results and make as much daily progress as possible. Number three, forget about the sale, focus on creating value. Most people don't like being sold at the best of times. When the future is less certain, they turn off, hang up, and slam shut. But what people want at all times is value creation. That is, solutions that help them eliminate their dangers, capture their opportunities, and reinforce their strengths. When you focus on providing these three solutions, the sales will naturally follow. Number four, forget about your losses, focus on your opportunities. Things you had and may have taken for granted sometimes disappear. Some people never get over this. They keep trying to replay their old games. A better strategy is to start an entirely new game using new ideas, new energies, new tools, and new resources. As the world changes, opportunities suddenly become available to achieve far more than you ever did in the past. Number five, forget about your difficulties, focus on your progress. Because of some changes, things may not be as easy as they once were. New difficulties can either defeat you or reveal new strengths. Your body's muscles always get stronger from working against resistance. The same is true for the muscles in your mind, your spirit, and your character. Treat this whole period of challenge as a time when you can make your greatest progress as a human being. Number six, focus on the future, forget about the future, focus on today. Forget about the future, focus on today. The future is an abstraction. It doesn't exist except as an idea. The only future that has any reality is the one that you continually create for yourself through each day's contributions, achievements, and results. This is an excellent time to ignore all those experts who never saw the present circumstances coming. Focus on what you can do over the course of each 24 hours, and you'll be the only expert on the future you'll ever need. Number 7, forget about who you were, focus on who you can be. Many people define themselves by external circumstances. When these abruptly and unexpectedly change, they don't know who they are, so they keep trying to be who they used to be. From now on, take your cues from the inside, from your dreams, ideals, values, and operating principles. These need never change regardless of the circumstances. Take advantage of external confusion to become self-directed, self-managed, and self-motivated. Number 8, forget about events. Focus on your responses. When things are going well, many people think they're actually in control of events. That's why they feel so defeated and depressed when things turn bad. They think they've lost some fundamental ability. The most consistently successful people in the world know they can't control events, but continually work towards greater control over their creative responses to events. Any period when things are uncertain is an excellent time to focus all your attention and energy on being creatively responsive to all of the unpredictable events that lie ahead. Number 9, forget about what's missing, focus on what's available. When things change for the worse, many desirable resources are inevitably missing, including information, knowledge, tools, systems, personnel, and capabilities. These deficiencies can paralyze many people who believe that they can't make decisions or take action. A strategic response is to take advantage of every resource that is immediately available in order to achieve as many small results and make as much daily progress as possible. Work with every resource and opportunity at hand, and your confidence will continually grow. And then number 10, forget about your complaints, focus on your gratitude. When times get tough, everyone has to make a fundamental decision, to complain or to be grateful. In an environment where negative sentiment is rampant, the consequences of this decision are much greater. Complaining only attracts negative thoughts and people. Gratitude, on the other hand, creates the opportunity for the best thinking, actions, and results to emerge. Focus on everything that you're grateful for, communicate this, and open yourself up each day to the best possible consequences. So that is the Scary Time Success Manual. I think it's filled with enormous wisdom, and the main things that I would pull out of this is, you know, focus on value creation, always produce more than you take. Life gives to the giver and takes from the taker, so, you know, really think about all the people out there that aren't aware of this, that aren't participating in something like you're participating in, and share with them any insights that you have. I mean, one of the exercises that I did with the Platinum members was create a genius network. So they listed people in their lives that they would go to for advice, suggestions, capabilities, referrals, you know, anything that they would consider part of a wisdom network. Who are those individuals, and how can you help them reach their bigger future? Because the way to get what you want out of life is to identify what are the things that, with people that have bigger futures, what do they want out of life, what can you do to help them get it? And when you do that, and when you think that way, and you have that true, sincere mindset of really being helpful, then guess what? You end up getting what you want out of life, because people reciprocate, and they love to help people that are helping them. And so that's what I wanted to share with everyone. So, Don, are there any other questions or comments hanging on the line? If not, I'll go ahead and wrap up.
No, so there's no question.
Okay. Well, I'm going to unmute the line. I just want to thank all of you for participating in the call-in day today. I invite all of you to attend the Rich Cleaner Conference. If you want information about it, please call us at 480-858-0008, and we will be happy to give you information, get you registered if you're not, I will take this article that I just read, and I will have Gina post it up on Piranha Central so you can have access to that also. So we are officially unmuted. So all of you have a wonderful evening, and I will talk with you next time.
Bye, Joe.
Bye. Bye. Bye.